Pope Benedict XVI will be celebrating a special Vespers service this evening in St. Peter's Basilica, marking the beginning of Advent, in which he has called for special prayers for the protection of all human life, especially the unborn. The Holy Father has asked that parishes, religious communities, associations, and movements join him for this evening of prayer in churches throughout the world. The Director of International Coordination at Human Life International, Joseph Meany, told me that this is unprecedented.
It's really wonderful. It's the first time in history that the Holy Father has done this. And, of course, it's a wonderful time to do it at the beginning of Advent when we're thinking about the unborn Christ child, waiting for the birth of the Christ child, to think of all these unborn children that are also at risk around the world because, unfortunately, something like a third of all pregnancies end in abortion today. And it's something that Cardinal DiNardo of the Pro-Life Committee of the U.S. Catholic Bishops came out to say was really an unprecedented request. One thing that we think is that it probably goes back to Evangelium Vitae, the encyclical letter of Pope John Paul II. In paragraph 100, he asked for a worldwide prayer for life. And that's what Pope Benedict has asked for, a worldwide prayer at the beginning of Advent to pray for all nascent human life. And we think that's kind of perhaps the origin, but it's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to think about, you know, the culture of life and bringing the world to an awareness of the huge, enormous numbers of deaths that are taking place every single day.
What has the response been to this request by the Holy Father?
You know, it's very interesting. It was sent out to all the bishops' conferences around the world. And so in every different country, it's taken a kind of a different spin on it. I think the ones who have reacted the most have probably been the Argentinian bishops. They declared 2011 to be the year of life. And they're going to spend the entire year reflecting on defense of human life. The U.S. Catholic bishops, through the Pro-Life Committee, came out with a wonderful statement. It unfortunately falls on Thanksgiving weekend for the United States, and therefore it might be a little bit difficult, but even so, they're really pushing hard to get people to come and participate on this Saturday evening vigil in the U.S. Many other countries around the world are, you know, organizing all their different activities. So it is going to be a global event, which is a first in history.
You mentioned the Argentinian bishops. There's been a strong push in Latin America to lessen the safeguards to human life. Is this one of the reasons you think the Argentinian bishops have reacted so strongly?
Absolutely. I mean, all over Latin America, by and large, the laws protect unborn children. Unfortunately, in the next-door country in Uruguay, just next to Argentina, they have a project to legalize abortion that could come out any day now. In Argentina itself, several regional laws have been brought forward. All kinds of different initiatives have come out and political forces have pushed for legalizing abortion, for legalizing all kinds of other attacks against human life. And so I think the Argentinian bishops are taking this opportunity as a real teaching moment and to make a priority of defending human life there and defending their good laws.
Let's take this opportunity to look at the status of the pro-life movement around the world, including countries where abortion has been recently legalized and where abortion has been legalized for several decades, and those countries where still have laws on the books to protect human life. How is the international scene for pro-life?
Yeah, the majority of countries around the world still today defend human life, do not permit abortion except in very limited cases. Unfortunately, demographically speaking, the majority of people today live in countries where abortion is legal because China and India, the two largest countries in the world, have legal abortion. And also the United States, which is, you know, the fourth largest country in the world in terms of population. But so we're looking at, you know, the majority of countries are pro-life, but the most influential countries are anti-life. So the United States, the Western European countries, Canada, Australia, Japan, all the leading economic powers of the world are on the anti-life side. And they're spending literally billions of dollars every year promoting anti-life initiatives. So from the United Nations, the United Nations Population Fund, but International Planned Parenthood Federation gets tons and tons of money from European governments, the U.S. government, Canadian government, just to promote the legalization of abortion all over the world. And so even though a majority of countries still have pro-life laws, they are under attack. And it's very rare to see a country switch from a pro-abortion law to a pro-life law. It's unfortunately more common to see countries losing their pro-life laws. So, you know, recently there was a referendum in Kenya where they had pro-life constitution, the right to life from the moment of conception in their constitution. There was a referendum to change their constitution, to put in a new constitution, which dropped some protections for human life. It allowed some exceptions for abortion, even though it still said life began at conception. And this was paid for with millions of dollars from the United States, from the United Nations, from the European Union. And there's clearly a lot of pressure going in to move in the direction of greater abortion, greater, you know, liberalism and all these things.
How important is it then for this witness of this prayer vigil, for example, and other pro-life prayer activities in countries?
I think it's fundamental. I mean, one of the most effective movements in the pro-life sphere has been the Helpers of God's Precious Infants, which does prayer vigils. And they just do prayer vigils. They pray in front of abortion centers, generally the rosary. And what they've done is close enormous numbers, dozens of abortion centers in the United States, but also in Europe and in Australia, just by these prayers. So the power of prayer is definitely important. And as Saint Benedict always told us, you have to start with prayer and continue with action, continue with work, ora et labora. So we need to start with prayer, and then we need to continue with all of our work activities to create, to build really a culture of life, and also to fight and resist all the different attacks that come against, you know, good laws, or to, you know, even aggravate bad laws and make them even worse, as happened recently in Spain.
In the United States, of course, there's a very strong pro-life movement, even though the United States has one of the most liberal abortion regimes in the world. Why is it that when you come, for example, to Europe, which does have strong Christian roots, and they have liberalized abortion laws, but of course not as liberalized in the United States, is this grassroots movement not as strong, or at least not as public?
It's a very interesting fact that worse laws tend to bring a better reaction. So if there's a terrible law, in a certain sense, it kind of brings wakes people up more. And I think what happened in Europe in particular is that they sort of presented the liberalization of abortion as a kind of a half measure. You know, in Germany, abortion is technically illegal, but they just don't prosecute you if you go and have counseling first, et cetera, et cetera. And I think in a certain sense, many of the European peoples were kind of lulled into this gradualism. They just accepted little by little the culture of death. I think what happened in the United States is that overnight, the Supreme Court legalized abortion on demand through all 9 months of pregnancy, and people were shocked. And they kind of revolted against this. And this, in some sense, gave strength to the pro-life movement. I think what happened in Europe is there was this kind of a gradual erosion of the pro-life sensibility, and the abortion laws were presented as compromises that were, you know, oh, well, we're not going to have abortion after the 12th week of pregnancy, and we're going to, you know, have all kinds of safeguards and all kinds of things. And I think that was a big part of it. And I think also, I mean, the church in its response to abortion has not been as strong in Europe as it has been in the United States. There is no pro-life committee of the Catholic bishops of fill-in-the-blank European country, whereas there is in the United States. The issue is not brought up as often by the different Episcopal conferences. You know, when there was the health care reform bill in the United States, there were 33 million postcards that were sent by Catholics to their legislators saying, don't add abortion to the health care reform. And that was a campaign sponsored by the U.S. Catholic bishops. So the pro-life committee of the U.S. bishops really does a lot. And in other countries, unfortunately, that isn't the case.
Now, in these countries we talked about earlier in Latin America and in Africa, we also see this kind of gradualization happening. Are the bishops there looking at the different responses and how the U.S. deals with pro-life issues, how Europe deals with it? Are they learning from what's happened in the past?
I think so. I mean, it was very interesting to see. In the case of Kenya, the bishops fought that as hard as they could. And they had press conferences. They put one bishop in charge of the campaign against the referendum. And that was his job, just to go out and educate people about the fact that the safeguards in their constitution for human life were going to be eroded by this new constitution. And I think, you know, wherever we go in Latin America, but also in sub-Saharan Africa and parts of Asia as well, we find the bishops are very welcoming and saying, look, this is a real priority for us. We see the attacks against us. What whatever you can provide to us to help us in our struggle to defend a culture of life that we have in our countries, we're very open to it. So I think also, you know, with the leadership that the Holy Father himself gives, Pope John Paul II, you know, created all these wonderful documents, a beautiful magisterium on life and family, and Pope Benedict has been following through with that, including with this prayer vigil, which was asked for really by John Paul II, but he never managed to initiate it. Benedict now has started this. But the bishops, I think, look towards the Holy Father to lead them and to good examples and groups, you know, that have some resources to help them in their pro-life struggle all over sub-Saharan Africa, certainly all throughout Latin America.